Welcome, everybody. Here we are again for this wonderful podcast.
Wonderful.
This wonderful time we have together weekly.
Yep.
Yep. Good to see you guys.
Good to be seen.
Had a really good weekend.
Yeah, it was good.
It was fun.
Yeah. What did we talk about, anyway?
Yeah, we talked about that.
That. What is that? Yeah.
I said it too much yesterday. I'm not going to say it on the podcast today.
He's met the quota for the year.
I preached it four times. I can't say the word sex again for about 6 months.
Thursday night when you said, you know, I used to read the old King James and it would say that he knew them. I knew what that meant.
Yeah, that didn't work, so I didn't say that again.
I thought it was hilarious.
It worked great. I was laughing.
All right. Yeah, subject we all deal with and needs to be talked about. It's not the most fun thing. It gets a little bit awkward. We've had 2 weeks of kind of awkward. Our food was tough, and
on Mother's Day,
on Mother's Day and Pentecost Sunday, we talk about sex.
Yep.
But
you said it before we started rolling. I thought it was pretty bears repeating here that, you know, it spurred a lot of conversations that we heard about between families and parents getting to have conversations with their kids who may have been sitting in there and heard the message as well. So, sometimes, you know, what is said in the moment there kind of spurs some great conversations to be able to take place on the ride home or at dinner later on that night.
Yeah. Guy came up at the gym this morning and thanked me for being able to, for being real about that, being authentic. He said it had opened up conversation for him and his family, and they were able to talk with their kids about some things and teach them some things coming out of it. And he said somebody else had come up to him that, or talked to him that he didn't even know came to Upward and just said how it had made such an impact on her life. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
I've been thanked by several people for it. So as awkward as it is, I think part of our calling as ministers and pastors is to be able to wade into those very difficult areas that people are struggling with. And even sometimes when it doesn't feel like a great sermon or a great rally of the troops or a pep rally at all, it's very necessary. As a pastor, you got to do that.
Yeah.
It can't all be firing them up and sermon.
It was like you gave permission, like, hey, you guys can talk about this. And then I feel like people actually took that opportunity.
They did. They did.
It's good.
Yeah, I mean, I had, I had several, favorite moments of the weekend as far as the message was concerned. And one of those was 10:15. I have my 11-year-old that sits in service with me during the 10:15. And so she got to sit right beside me, and she squirmed, and it was awkward for her. But, I mean, it lended us to have some good conversation on the other side of that as well. I mean, I knew what was coming. So, I mean, I made sure that I, made it a point to sit in that service with her on that one. So that was good. So I appreciate that from a parent's perspective.
Yeah, I'm glad for the opportunity. Yeah.
So talked about sex, and but really more so than that, really talked about the appetite that is there that Paul speaks about in Corinthians there when it comes to being healthy. And we really wanted to set out to be able to have a healthy perspective, a biblical perspective of the fact that, you know, that God created this gift. And I thought you did a great job of bringing that back around as well, that sex isn't a bad word, sex isn't dirty or anything like that, but man, it is actually something that God created to be kept in a boundary that He creates as well. But man, that sex is this great gift from God.
It is. A good sex drive is a mark of you being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
Wanting to do that is put in you by God, and that's a good thing. When you don't have the desire for it, something's off, you know. Something needs to be addressed. So, and I said it yesterday, Christians ought to know about sex and how to enjoy that and how to use that better than anybody else, because we know the one that created it. We claim to. We claim to know the God that created all this, so we should be better at that than the rest of the world. One of the things I really wanted to do yesterday was not, so many times you hear that passage in 1 Corinthians 6, and there is a lot of don't do this in there. Don't join yourself to a prostitute. Don't join yourself to someone. But I really wanted to talk to people about the invitation God has to us to something far better than the base and degraded version of sex that is just all over our world today. It really is. So I hope that people heard the invitation from God to healthy sexuality. Mm-hmm. Rather than just saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other, invite them to something higher. And that's kind of a philosophy, I think, maybe an unspoken philosophy. We kind of have it Upward. It's better to invite people to something higher than just continually point out what they're doing wrong. There is something better than pornography.
Mm-hmm.
There is something better than one-night stands or hookups, you know, or affairs. There's something far better than those things. It's a committed, loving relationship, you know, in marriage and holy matrimony.
And I love that you spoke into just people who have been on the other side of that, and they're in maybe that brokenness. And say it's going to be okay. You still get to step into that.
You do.
Into that healthiness.
You do. Our past does not destroy any chance we have of being free and healthy in the future. Yeah. You know, we did talk about how unhealthy sex and unholy sex leads to brokenness over and over again. And, you know, pieces of your heart shatter, and you're tied to people when you have sex with them in a way that we don't even understand. But there's always healing in Jesus for those things. He comes in and he's the healer of broken hearts. So I wanted people to hear that.
Yeah. I thought you did a great job, too, of really explaining that invitation. Oftentimes we get the idea of don't have sex before you're married, and we just kind of stay within that. But I thought you did a great job of explaining the idea that sex joins us, and why God really paints this picture and gives us the instructions to save sex until you're married, till you've committed your life to that person for the rest of your life. Why that was so important, and I think sometimes that's where we as a church oftentimes we'll get it wrong, is we just give the don't do this, but we never explain the invitation. And you didn't just give the invitation, but I mean, you did a great job of explaining why that invitation is so necessary and so important for us.
It's too beautiful a thing, and it's too powerful a thing to be taken lightly. And I'm afraid that's what we often do in our culture. We make it casual. We make it passing. We make it something we can just do with a person and move on. And we're tearing our hearts up because it's so much more powerful than we often give it credit for. There's a union that takes place that we don't understand. So I really wanted to tell people, this is so special and so beautiful. Save it for the one God has called you to. Save it especially for someone who will commit their whole lives to you. You know, and I think that's so important. It's beautiful, private, and special.
Yeah.
And it's even more beautiful when it's with the person you've committed your life to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I loved how you pointed out, you know, that we talked about how it joins you, and we talked about this idea of when God looked at Adam and said, it's not good for him to be alone.
No kid.
I just thought that was a beautiful picture to just be able to say, this is really the idea that God had in mind. I'll not really redefine it, but just to be reminded of the definition almost.
I'll tell you the area I struggled with a bit yesterday. I felt like it would have been easy to leave out folks who were single and didn't want to be, because I know there are plenty of people in the world today that are single and don't want to be, and they still have a sex drive, which they should. They still have the desire to be married. It's certainly not all about sex, but there's a lot there that's part of it. And I really, really would love to say to them, if any of those are listening today, that I've prayed for this to happen in our congregation, for those there who have the desire to have a relationship, for God to lead them to the right person and a godly person. I had some people, I had one person come up to me and express that very thought yesterday of, I'm single and I don't want to be, what do I do? You know, and so that was on my heart the whole day yesterday.
The idea and the image that that you kept coming back to a little bit yesterday as well was this idea of moving sex away from the idea that it's just this physical act to the union that takes place there, and really getting beyond that into the idea of intimacy. I guess one question that I would have for you is why do you think we so quickly replace the physical nature of sex and we trade it in for the intimacy? Why is that such a big struggle for us?
I mean, it seems that we live in a society that's all about the charge, about the high, about the shot to the endorphins, you know, and all that we get from whatever, you know. And I think we live in a society that is more instant gratification sells better than the long-term health.
That's
you
good.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there is plenty of instant gratification in sexual relations, and we're really good at leaning to that and moving away from the life that's in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but
yeah.
I think we just sort of drift towards the thrill and not realize we're actually looking for intimacy with another person. Complete intimacy is what we're really longing for. If God created us to have that, and he did, and we don't have it, we're going to long for that. And the thing is, if you try these cheap imitations or substitutes, like, you know, multiple sexual partners or, you know, ungodly sexual behaviors or pornography or something like that, if you try those, you just come up empty because the intimacy is not there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people struggle with pornography. You don't connect with a person in a picture or a video. You don't make that connection. It's like it just doesn't work. Yeah. It gives you the shot of, I guess, pleasure, but it does not really give you the lasting fulfillment mm-hmm. that a godly sexual life will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you talked about, I think you said ecstasy. Like, people are chasing after that ecstasy. Well, and that's good for a minute. And then it's like, okay, now what?
It's the intimacy you want.
Intimacy is what you're... Yeah. Chasing yeah. after, really.
I believe that. I do.
You took Paul's words as well when it came to the idea of resisting sexual temptation. And you broke it down into this really difficult and complicated plan to be able to resist sexual temptation. I think you were even able to work it into one word.
Paul did. Holy Spirit did. I did.
But run.
Run. That's it. Run from sexual temptation. You got to get out of it. You can't stay there. You've got to block it from your life. You've got to not put yourself in a position where you're going to fail.
Yep.
I tell young people who are dating all the time, you know, they say, how do you stay sexually pure? How do you not have sex with somebody that you love, you know? And that's such a challenge.
Sure.
I tell them all the time, don't put yourself in a position to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. And this may seem old-fashioned, whatever it may, but I tell couples that are dating, don't be alone with each other.
Yeah.
Just be at a restaurant, be in a public place. Once you go to somebody's house or somebody's apartment, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
And that's anybody. I don't care who you are. If you really care about somebody and you're attracted to them, there's a magnetism there that's mm-hmm. going on that's wonderful. And if you put yourself in a position to fail, you likely will. So the only way out of it, I think Joseph ran away. There's the Genesis story where Potiphar's wife told him, hey, jump into bed with me. She's actually pulling him into bed.
Yeah.
And he just left his coat behind.
All right.
He took off.
What I loved about, because you kind of shared, you know, your personal testimony with you know, some decisions that you and Alexa had made. What I loved about that was that you made a plan. You didn't wait until you got in the moment to say, oh, this is, we probably shouldn't find ourselves here. You had a plan ahead of time that said, you know what, we're not going to allow these things to take place. And that's one thing that, you know, that I would try to communicate with individuals as well. Is like, listen, go ahead and make a plan now. Go ahead and set your boundaries in place at this point in time before you find yourself in to a situation where you're going to be tempted. Do your best to avoid the temptation as much as you possibly can.
I would say to dads, if you send your daughter on a date with a young man, you ought to know their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ought to know where you're going, where you're going to be this time, and when are you going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
And that's good for young couples, too, who are trying to stay sexually pure.
Right.
Go ahead and make a plan. Don't leave it open-ended, yeah. You know.
Well, I think there's something really cool about that, too, between that couple. You're communicating to each other, I actually care about this thing.
Yeah.
I care about you. I care about us. And I know we don't want to mess this up. So why would we even, like, you're already saying, I'm going to be a good commitment when we make that commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're communicating.
For real. Yeah. A dad with a daughter, there's nothing he would love more than to see a young man who actually respects his daughter. I want young women out there especially to know, and it applies to young men as well, that you're not an object for anyone, you know. And if you have to give up something of yours to attract them, that's just not the person you want. At least they're not the person right now that you want them to be. They mm-hmm. can grow. But if there's a person who's just after your body, very oftentimes, if you give them that, they're going to move on to the next one.
Yeah.
And they're going to show you they weren't really there for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to be loved for your body. You want to be loved for who you are, you know, inside. And everybody's worthy of that kind of love and respect. Every human being that God has created is worthy to be loved and respected that way and not used as just a tool for somebody else's pleasure. So I would love for young people just to rise up and say it can be better than this. Young women, I'm hearing a lot from young women we hear in our ministry. You know, they're saying there's just no guys out there. Unless you sleep with them, they won't date you. Well, fine. fine, move on and wait for the person God has for you.
Right.
You want to wait for that person. It's worth waiting for the right person. It really is.
Very well said.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else you'd like to say about getting healthy? You know, we wrapped up the series this weekend. Anything else lingering out there that you want to share about that?
No, I guess we've said enough. It's been 6 weeks here, and we've said a whole lot, and it's been good.
It's been a great series. It really has. I think it's helped a lot of people. It's helped me making some decisions to be a little healthier coming out of this series.
Helped me a whole lot. Yeah. The food helped me a whole lot. I'm eating naturally now. I haven't eaten processed food in a good bit, and I'm feeling a whole lot better.
I've heard that from a lot of people that said that, you know, last week's message on food really really spoke to them, really challenged them. So really well done.
Tons of people came in yesterday saying thank you for that. Thank you. Yeah. Needed it so much. So that's great.
Good.
Yep.
Next weekend, kick off a new series.
Born Again.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Jesus and Nicodemus. I've been in this chapter for about a year now, just kind of digging in Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation. You know, I've been committing that chapter to memory, and just the words of it just ring in my head all the time. And they're pretty powerful words. This Pharisee came to Jesus at night and asked Jesus all these questions, and Jesus just really gave some rich stuff to him. In fact, the one verse most people know, John 3:16, was in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, and it's powerful. So we're going to look at Nicodemus himself and his conversion and what it means to be born again.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
It's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I'm excited.
We also got something else going on this weekend, because this right here is actually a monumental of our podcasts.
Yes, it's a sad day for us here on the Upward Podcast. Our podcast audience may not know all of this. I guess I would assume most of them do. But Mr. Matthew here is moving to Florida. We are.
It's Georgia, but it's close to Florida.
I keep saying Florida, but
it's on the line.
We just hate that area.
Georgia. Yeah.
Just, it's not here.
We've had two staff members in the last, 6 years go to Florida.
Yep.
We don't say goodbye to people very often, but sometimes God moves people around, and he's moving Matthew and his family to South Georgia. And his last Sunday will be this weekend with us in person. And so I tried to say something yesterday at the end of service and lost my way. I could not finish that. So I was like, all right, just go home, everybody. So we'll see what happens this week. If you want to see me cry, this weekend is a good chance to see that happen. So anyway, we're going to be saying goodbye to them this week. Ellie's getting baptized this week.
Yes,
we're really excited. Matt's going to baptize his daughter. But Matt, you've been a huge part of this podcast and really good, and we'll miss you here in a whole lot of ways.
Yep.
Same.
Anything you want to say to this wonderful podcast audience?
They do let me talk from time to time. I'm just quiet, so that's probably what I would say. But we love you guys.
Good job, guys, too, with no middle school humor on the podcast.
We did good.
We got it all out of the house. We got it all out before you walked through the door.
They did. Oh, goodness. Okay, y'all. We'll see you again next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.